James Acaster on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome to FUBAR. This is the Shuffle Show, where me and the wonderful actor Ken Collard are going to put our iPods on shuffle today. Bastian Tellier on FUBAR, League Chicanos. A nice song. Nice song, isn't it? Welcome to the Shuffle Show. My guest today is Ken Collard. Hello, Ken.
Hello, James. How are you?
Good, thank you. You were looking quite dreamily out of the window there. It's a sunny day, isn't it? And we're we are in a hot, hot room.
Yeah, and I'm on a really small chair.
you adjusted it yourself, but you are the shortest chair that we've had so far.
I know, because it's like sitting at a bar here, and it was a bit too high, and my feet couldn't touch the floor, but they still can't. But
yeah. Really, can they still not? How tall are you? What?
I'm 5'4".
5'4". Yeah. My mum is that tall, actually.
Really?
Yeah,
tiny.
Good old chat with my mum. Did you like that? Do you like being at that height?
Yeah, it's okay, but it comes with its... is liabilities, is that the right word?
Yeah,
on the tube it's sometimes difficult because people with rucksacks when they turn around, obviously my face height is their rucksack height,
right in the face with the clips.
Yeah, so
but then also on the tube when it's crowded, does that mean you can get yourself get yourself in there easier?
Well, yeah, I suppose I can squeeze in, but it's it's the rucksack hazard.
Yeah, it's the those people are, I mean, that's one of the things that annoys me most on the tube, more than people being rude. So all the things we don't like are things like people wearing their rucksacks still on their back when it's crowded, mm-hmm. people not letting people off the train when it's before getting on, people, you know, not spreading out on the platform. All that stuff is annoying. Mm-hmm. But what's more annoying, I find, is the posters that they've got now with the cartoon characters and the little poems above their heads that is all meant to tell you how to be courteous. And it's just the most patronising...
They're kind of old-fashioned as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
They kind of got that old-fashioned look.
Very old-fashioned. It's very kind of like... I mean, it's just so passive-aggressive, the whole thing about those poems. It's so, like, clearly you're just saying, like, don't be a wanker. That's all that poem's saying. Saying, so when you're on this train, don't be a prick. But instead they're kind of trying to do it in a little rhyme about taking your rucksack off. Mm. We've got your iPod here.
Yeah.
Well, you wanted me to make it very clear, or you made it very clear to me, it's your wife's iPod and that's why it's pink.
Yeah, in a red case.
In a red case. I mean, I think it's classy. I like it.
That's the one I use in the gym, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I do have it in my pocket. So nobody sees it.
So no one else
But
sees
it's
it.
Good. It's an iPod Nano 4th generation, I think.
Lovely.
So it's a little one. And I don't really know how to use it.
Well, I've already mastered it. You'll be glad to know.
Thank you. You can teach me later.
A fourth generation iPod.
Yeah. And I did give you a warning that I can't really remember everything on there, and secondly, it's not just music on there. So I may.
What
have
are the
to,
things that aren't music?
They're lectures.
Lectures that you've given or that you've
been no, I don't think there's any of mine on there.
Right.
Yeah, this is going to sound weird. I use them when I go to the gym. Yeah.
You listen sometimes. To lectures?
No, sometimes. I also have a gym playlist, which if the others is too bad, we can jump to that one. It's a bit better.
There's a gym playlist and there's lectures that you listen to while you're working out.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's a bit odd, isn't it?
Well, it's good that it's odd because it means we can talk about it. No one else has done this before. So, like, what are the lectures about?
Well, various things. I think there's one there on... let me think. There's a great one on there about unity.
Right, yes.
Which is obviously perfect for gym time.
Yeah.
And, they're all Buddhist lectures, so...
Okay.
It may... if we happen to stumble across one, then we can either listen.
That'd be quite nice for the FUBAR audience to get enlightened on a Sunday afternoon.
Mm.
Be good. Are you a Buddhist yourself?
I am, yeah, for many years. But I find that when I'm in the gym, because, as I say, it's quiet time, but it's not really, but you can just concentrate and focus, or it helps you concentrate and focus.
Yeah.
And it's a time well spent.
Well, part of the thing about, you know, I started going to the gym because I needed to switch my head off and de-stress. And my friend Phil Wang is also a comic. He tried to recommend some meditations to me. So I guess you're combining both of them.
Yeah.
But almost.
But there's a friend of mine, actually, Mr. Emmett, who, when I was working with him in Morocco, he has things on his phone, on his iPhone, but they're also kind of lectures, but they're motivational speeches by Arnold Schwarzenegger. They're beautiful. I can only say they're beautiful.
Put Tony Robbins to shame, I'm sure.
Yes. But do have a look on YouTube. They're great, especially if you're in the gym.
Yeah. Does do you listen to the motivational speakers as well, or do you?
Not really, no.
I guess you can't really combine them with the Buddhism, really. It's quite the opposite.
Kind of does what it needs to do, those lectures, when I'm there. Yeah.
Yeah. So have you attended the lectures and recorded them, or you've downloaded them?
I don't think I'm actually even allowed to record them. So anyway, too late for that. Kind of made it public now. So let's say I am allowed to record them. I was there, I think, at most of them, actually.
Right.
And then I think the rest, I then gave lectures on the lectures that I was listening to.
Right.
But some of them I was there.
So you're giving the lectures yourself on, like, how many of them have you done?
Oh, God, over the years, loads. Thank you for the coffee. Just lovely coffee come through.
Thank you for the tea and coffee and the waters. And
loads over the years. And actually, I got one coming up on Wednesday, so I'm just trying to get that together.
How does that compare to acting? To, like, is it similar, or do you completely, like, go into a different part of?
I think you have as an actor, you can take some of those skills across, and it helps you when you deliver a lecture. I think in that respect is good, but in terms of content, not really.
Right. Yeah.
I don't have to learn it.
Right.
So I don't have to remember the words. Thankfully,
yes.
Otherwise we'd be in real problems. But I think in terms of delivery, I think it's very good. It helps you portray what you need to portray in an interesting way.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That was. I think that's one of the more fascinating opening chats we've had as well. It's really getting into some different things. And people will know you from Cuckoo and from loads of things. I mean, so you're doing the Tetris as well, but you've been in many films and stuff like that. You're one of those people who I think as soon as people see you in anything, they'll go, what else has he been in? And they'll come up with, you pop up in quite a lot, don't you?
I do. I get stopped actually occasionally. Like in all over the place. Yeah. In Lidl, and actually, where was it? Baron's Court last week.
Yeah.
I was just leaving the station to go and see a friend of mine, and there was a big tennis tournament or something going on.
Yeah.
And there were these ticket touts out there, a little guy and a big guy, old guys.
Yeah.
And as I walked past, the little guy just said to me, "Dwing." And I thought, oh, and I carried on walking, and the older guy whistled, and I turned around, and he motioned to go back to the little guy, and so I thought, okay. So I went over to the little guy, and he went, "Dwing," and I said, "Sorry, I don't understand." He said, "C-wing? C-wing." And I said, "Oh, prison. Do you mean prison?" He went, "Yeah. D-wing? C-wing?" I said, "No." He said, "Wandsworth?" I said, no. And then I walked off and left, and then I walked back to him, and I said, "Were you in Wandsworth, in D-wing?" And he went, "Yeah." And I just said, okay, well, at least you're not there now. And then went. But I think he must have seen me on something but thought I was an inmate in D-Wing in Wandsworth. So if you are out there and you're listening, sorry about that. And lovely to meet you. Really lovely to meet you.
Or there is a prisoner in D-Wing who looks exactly like you.
Yeah, there is.
Who is
well.
Going around, getting people going up to him going, "Were you in Cuckoo? I've seen you in, I've seen you in Cuckoo before." And then he's just cutting them and getting revenge. Well, we've got. Also, how confident are you with your iPod today? Are you feeling, I mean, you've got the lectures on there, but music-wise, are you quite...
I have no idea.
No idea what's on there.
No, because I think I would have put it on there years ago, and it just happened to be on there. And so there's probably loads, and it's probably a bit weird.
Well, in that case, I will take first plunge as a gentleman.
Okay, thank
and,
you.
And we'll see if I get embarrassed first. So here we go. It's my one. That's boy, not very embarrassing. Valen Sebastian.
Do those things. We have such a dream.
Belle and Sebastian, with I Could Be Dreaming, on Fubar. That's the first song on Shuffle on my iPod. I've done well there. I don't think many people will say Belle and Sebastian aren't cool. But then, you know, the whole point of this is that I'm not playing songs that are cool, really. So I've absolutely gone against the title down in the show. What do you think of that, Ken?
Yeah, no, very good. I see you're plugging in mine now.
I am plugging in yours. You feeling that sinking feeling now?
A little bit.
I got to feel like how a dentist feels there until I started getting the equipment ready. I saw the dread in your eyes.
That's a great sense of power you got there.
Yeah, yeah.
Plugging that plug thing into my iPod.
Amazing.
Into my world.
Yeah. Belle and Sebastian are one of those cool... I think that particular album, Tiger Milk's their first album, is one of those things that people will put on to impress people. And they will have that, But then, I think it's got to that point now where if I went down to someone's house and they played that, I'd be like, you're trying
too
hard.
I'll be honest, I have never heard of them before.
Have you not?
But then, they sounded brilliant, but that's... really sorry. Sound amazing. And I'm sure they go very far. So I can't say whether it's cool or not.
I've had a lot of albums like that. They've been going for quite a while. I think that was their first album.
Oh, well, yeah. Brilliant.
The front cover is a topless lady breastfeeding a cuddly toy Tigger.
How modern.
Winnie the Pooh.
Very much.
Did you like that?
Yeah.
That's quite...
So, how are they doing now?
Good. Yeah, they're doing well.
There was a breakthrough, their LP cover, and it just went mad after.
Yeah, they did that cover, and now they're doing great. They've had loads of albums out, and they're still...
I'll check them out.
Putting stuff on their tours and things like that. Yeah, they got loads of big audiences.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. But I will have a look and find out about your music.
Oh, you might like that album.
Yeah, yeah, it's very good music.
It's a nice... from Scotland? Do you like Scotland?
Lovely, lovely. Brilliant. I love Scotland. Love Scottish
you love
people.
It.
Yeah.
What's the best part of Scotland?
What's the best part? Edinburgh, Glasgow, the whole lot. I love it.
Yeah.
No, I do. I've been up there a few times, and I love Scottish people.
Yeah?
No, seriously, I do.
You do?
That's not ironic, I do.
How many
I voted for independence.
Did you?
Not that I could, but I would have done if I could.
Were you hoping they got it?
I was hoping that the right thing would happen.
Yeah.
Whatever that would be. I thought it was amazing that they could vote for it.
Yeah.
And I thought it was amazing how the whole process was seen through. I think it's an amazing example for all the other places around the world that are going through similar dilemmas.
Yeah.
And I thought Scotland was an absolute model for that. I thought brilliant. Really, really brilliant. I mean, in many ways, they achieved that independence on this time round on the election, wasn't it? Which is amazing.
Yes, take that, Labour. Absolutely convinced of any kind of... That was quite sad, wasn't it? Well, it depends what your opinions are. But on the one hand, I was like, brilliant for Scotland, that's really great. And they go, oh yeah, we're completely screwed now. I mean, there's no way. And that's me as a Labour voter. Obviously, other people would think, brilliant all round. It's like they're great. They took those guys out as well. Mm. Obviously, the Lib Dems nearly extinct now. So that's,
that was quite something, wasn't it?
Were you mourn them? Were you?
I mourn my local MP, actually, if I'm honest, because I thought he was amazing, and it's such a shame that he went. Really, really brilliant. Mr. Simon Hughes, he does so much for the local community. I didn't vote. I voted for him, but not for the party. I voted because he's amazing, and it's good to have him as an MP around in Southwark, because what he does is stunning for the local people.
Who was he replaced with?
A Labour gentleman, Mr. I don't know his name.
Yeah, he's got a lot to say. He's got big shoes to fill.
Yeah, he has, and I hope he does very well, and I hope he carries on that great work that Simon did. I really do.
Yeah. Do you get into politics much? I'm 30, so I think I'm kind of only
You're 30.
I'm 30.
You look 12.
I do look 12. That is absolutely.
You were wearing a tie when we came in.
I was.
A tie with a short sleeve shirt.
I was.
Like you just finished school.
I was.
30. Wow.
Yeah. I'm 30 years old. Are you impressed?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just watch your weight, because it all goes at 30.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. This is why I go to the gym. I'm trying to preempt it, because, I mean, I eat awfully. Mm. So I'm just trying to do exercise.
What do you
instead.
Eat?
I eat okay, actually, but just every now and again, I'll just eat a whole tub of Ben & Jerry's to myself.
Right.
Which is brilliant. I mean, it's really nice. I mean, you know, you got to be philosophical about that kind of stuff, right?
I think so, yeah.
Be here now?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, whole tub, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've got to live in the moment, have a whole tub of Ben & Jerry's, and then I feel pretty good about that. Makes me feel nice at the time. Normally, I like to have someone else around to share it with, if I'm honest, because then it will stop me from eating the whole tub.
I think that probably would have been better, wouldn't it, if you had somebody else there?
Yeah, but then it's so nice, and like, you know.
I feel the same about kebabs.
Yeah, you...
It's a shame to share them.
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
Well, there you go, you see... I think I've got a sweet tooth, you see. So kebabs, I probably wouldn't even finish one. So that's what I might say. So a lot of savoury stuff, if it's a big portion, I just won't finish it. So I'm actually quite healthily in terms of savoury stuff. I had a lot of sushi today, not loads,
But you're really tall and very thin, or you seem tall from this end anyway.
Yeah,
but I'm on the small chair.
You are on the small chair, at 5'4".
Yeah,
If I had my backpack on, I think it would more rest on top of your head rather than in your face. I think it would.
But you don't look like you. You look like you can eat a tub of Ben & Jerry's and get away with it.
Yeah, but as you say, 30 now
changes. It changes.
You know, I've seen photos of my dad when he was my age.
Mm.
And very slender, so I know what's waiting. I know what's just around the corner. So I've got to preempt it now, exercise, but also still, I don't want to be on my deathbed thinking, I wish I'd had more Ben & Jerry's because that's really delicious and I'm going to die now. Right. So I still try and make sure that I enjoy things like that.
I don't think I think that about kebabs, though, I have to say.
No.
It's just a necessity, really, to have a kebab now and again. It's one of those things.
What do you go for each time?
Each time. That's the most embarrassing. You know, it's not just that you go for a kebab, but you just said it each time. Yeah, it's a mixed doner.
Mixed doner.
Yeah, with no pita bread, because obviously I'm on a diet.
So just a salad?
Yeah, salad, meat, chili, and garlic sauce.
Oh, sounds nice. Did you have those, What kind of chilies? Like the ones with the what are the chilies called? Oh, the green ones. That is like one of those really juicy ones.
But they're not really chilies, are they?
What are they?
They're not really chilies. I don't know. They're kind of green things soaked in vinegar.
Yeah,
which are nice. But are they chilies? Are they kind of like a? Oh, I suppose they're a pepper, aren't they?
Yeah, probably a pepper. They're pretty crazy. I remember the first time I had one. I thought they were amazing. This is the best time I've ever had one. It's the first time, and I was like, "Whoa!" Because there's nothing I didn't expect. It to be like so full of whatever liquid is in there. So it's loaded, isn't it, with spicy juice?
Yeah, soaked in there. I always have them, actually. I don't eat them, but I seem to feel that I should have them. So the gentleman.
Get the respect to the guy at the counter.
Yeah.
What's your local kebab place called?
It's called Capital Kebab.
The best one.
Yeah.
The capital, no less.
Well, they have done the front looks really nice. It looks like a really good place.
Got a nice sign now.
Yeah,
what's it like?
Great.
Can you describe it to us? What the sign of Capital Kebab's looking like these days?
I already look at the sign when I go in, but I do know. I think that it's red and black.
Lovely.
I think, and there's a seating area at the back. There you go.
Do you ever use that seating area?
I have done in the past, but not recently.
You've done it.
Not in the last few years.
Eating in the kebab place.
Yeah, it's just too much fluorescent light in there.
Right, yeah. And there's nothing to make you feel good in those places.
Not with they kebabs, don't
really,
no.
They, I mean, they've got to take into account the fact that you already feel guilty because you're eating a kebab. So they should make the whole place feel
very dark.
Nice. But with the fluorescent lights, it's just like, oh, man.
You can't hide.
People can see me from streets away. They all know I'm doing this.
Mm.
Shall we turn our attention to your iPod? Because I think you're feeling like you would like. I think once we get this out the way, you know, it's a weight off your mind, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, well let's press play. Let's see what the first song. Oh, well now who's cool?
Ah, really?
Wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changing.
Bob Dylan, Bob Dylan, ending a little earlier than I remember that song. And the times they are changing.
That was a good choice.
You're extremely happy.
I am one up on the good music, although the other one was very good.
The other one was good. Belle Sebastian is cool. Belle.
I'm writing that down.
Ken's writing all these down today.
Yeah.
But I think Bob Dylan will get more votes for being just all round amazing, really. I mean, and then that particular song is one that even if people don't like Bob Dylan, they probably would say, yep, that's a very good song.
I think I downloaded that because it was a reminder, though I don't know why, of the 80s, because it's totally un-80s.
Yeah, it is.
But that, I know it sounds a bit weird. I think because I grew up in the 80s, and I think and that kind of music, and you know when you're growing up and you're changing and you're angry and the world's stupid and you're right and everybody's wrong and all that kind of stuff, and I remember hearing that, and so I think that was a throwback, a reminder of the 80s for me, which is why I think it's on there, I think.
Oh, right, so it reminds you of that time of your life.
Yeah.
Even though it's not from that that's interesting, because I mean really that's, because songs can be from whenever, but they only remind us of the times in our own lives when we heard them. Yeah, that's good. So you're not a Dylan fan necessarily?
I think there's a couple on there, two or three on there, I think. Mm. But that one, and I think it was on a compilation tape or something from the mid-80s that somebody, I say tape, that was a cassette tape, which somebody had made for me at the time. And I just found it, very, I kind of got it, and it was where I was at. And
can you remember who made you the tape and why?
There was something else on there as well. Actually, maybe it was another Bob Dylan. It will come to me later. And no, I can't quite remember, although I'm getting flashbacks.
where did you grow up? Where was this? I want to be transported to this 80s now.
I grew up in Chatham, which is in Kent.
Yes.
And Chatham was a dockyards, naval docks there.
Right.
And Mrs. Thatcher closed them down at the end of the 70s. Mm. And so the town kind of died a bit because there wasn't really anything there, apart from an airport at Rochester, and that was a tiny one, and they had...
Did you go and hang out at the airport?
No, I used to hang out at the Rochester Castle.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was brilliant. Really, really brilliant of an evening, sometimes. Used to break in, and I remember... Oh, I hope my mum and dad don't hear this. Remember sleeping in the castle, not in the castle, in the castle grounds with friends. Yeah, just waking up there in the morning, just hanging out there. It was lovely.
Really, how much really of the lovely. Castle was... I've never been there before. Is it like a... Is it pretty much all there, or is it...
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's got holes in it, and it's a bit drafty, and I don't think anybody lives in there. But you can walk around it, and I think you can go up a bit of it. But it's surrounded by a kind of a little park, and that's where I used to hang out and with my friends there at the time. I think, who were also, we were all in a theatre group or something, or actors or something, I can't remember. it was, brilliant. And it was, so all that kind of music was perfect for where we were.
Yeah, I like that image of you sleeping in the castle, listening to Bob Dylan with your friends. That's that's great.
Yeah. Actually, because a few years ago, I worked on a film called Ironclad, which was about the siege of Rochester Castle.
Oh, right.
Which is amazing, because having grown up there and having slept in it, and then filming it down in Cardiff, and then kind of seeing bits of it transported, obviously not real bits of it, make-believe stuff of it. It's just like, oh, wow, it really lovely to be kind of almost there 700 years before, 800, 900 years before, suddenly in time, and then fast forward to the 80s, and there I am sleeping in the ground. It was kind of like a connection. It's lovely.
At any point, did you find yourself walking around the new castle, going, "This is where I slept. This is where it was."
No, because they had it covered in muddy fields and swamps, which it would have been then.
Yes.
Whereas then in the 80s, actually in the 80s, amazing, it was manicured lawn.
Right.
So pretty manicured anyway.
But that's nice. That you got to feel like. I guess you don't really get to do many acting jobs where there's a personal connection to it, really. They come around every now and again, but otherwise you've got to... It's not that kind of thing of going, oh, yeah, this actually reminds me of a part of my life. Or do you find that with acting?
No, but that one, I think, yeah, because it was my teenage years and very informative years. It was a very special time of my life because you're kind of finding yourself and finding your direction, and a lot of that was associated with not so much Chatham, although a bit, but Rochester and Rochester Castle and round there. It kind of shaped me to a certain extent to where I then went off in life, and very wonderful memories of that time.
Well, you were a teenager who didn't like where they grew up at the time, and because a lot of teenagers are like, shit, oh, I've got to get out of here, and really not liking it. But when you grow up, you look back and go, that was important.
I don't think I knew any different, really. So I couldn't really, other than I knew Rochester was quite nice, and Chatham wasn't particularly then. I have to say, it's beautiful now. It's amazing. Do go. But then it was wasn't so great. Main shopping centre called the Pentagon.
Right. Okay.
Fantastic. With interesting shops.
Yeah.
But Rochester seemed a bit better.
Yeah. I always am a bit wary of buildings that are named after shapes. I just think that's the main thing it's got going for it, is counting how many walls there are. So I'm not sure about this.
I assume it must have been shaped like a Pentagon.
Yeah, it must have been. Pentagon. A lot of the time, it's like places are just like Although I'm doing a gig at the Reading Hexagon later this year.
And, which is a hexagon, isn't it?
It is a hexagon.
As I was there years ago, it is a hexagon.
And it's a good venue as well. So yeah. Should point that out for everybody listening.
Yeah, do go.
Yeah, do go. Do go to anywhere named after a shape. No, obviously, you know, Leicester Square is nice and things like that. So let's probably not slug all of them off. Okay, let's jump over back to my iPod and see if I can get maybe... Oh, hello. Started earlier than I thought it would. And all of them will catch you run with, get done with, done quick. Fuck your dog, punch your dog, it's a bum shit. I think we're the gun quick, now 1-1 shit. All of us are dumb shit, ain't that some shit? And it's remind me of a strip club. Every time you come around, it's like, gotta get my dicks up. And I don't know who the fuck you think you're talking to, but I'm not him, I ain't spent, so watch what you do. And you gonna find yourself buried next to someone else. Don't make all but you love yourself, but that could have been the issue. And maybe they just saying that now, cause they miss you. A nigga trying to ditch you, that's why you laying on your back, looking at the roof of the church. Preacher telling the truth and it hurts. God gon' make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. God gon' make me go all out. Up in here, up in here. God gon' make me act a fool. Up in here, up in here. God gon' make me lose my cool. Up in here, up in here. Off the chain, leave niggas soft in the brain. If niggas still want the fame, off the name. First of all, you ain't rap long enough to be fucking with me and you. So whatever it is you're pumping on, I got you thinking that you're Superman. I got the kryptonite, and I smack him with my dick in the mic. That niggas is tired, and even good actors. What's gonna be the outcome? Let's add up all the factors. You rap, you twisted, your girl's a hoe. You broke the 10-inch jaws, and everybody know your own man say you're stupid. You be like, so, I love my baby mother, I never let her go. I'm tired of weak-ass niggas, whining over pussy that don't belong to them. Fuck is wrong with them? They fuck it up for real niggas like my man to them. Who get it all in a strip for the hands of them, man. Gonna make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me go all out. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me act a fool. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me lose my cool. Up in here, up in here. I bring down rain so heavy it hurts the head. No more talking. Put him in the dirt instead. You keep walking. But you trying to end up red. As if I end up fed, then end up dead. But you the soft type nigga. Fake up. Tight, nigga. Push like a soft fight, nigga. Dog is a dog, but it's thicker than water. We done been through the mud, and we picking the slaughter. The bigger the order, the more guns we want out. Run up in the air, everybody come out. Don't nobody run out. Sunday to sun out. I'ma keep a gun out. Nigga run in his mouth. I'ma blow a gun out. Missing, your ass is about to be missing. You know who gon' find you? Some old man fishing. Grandma wishing. The souls and rats and his heart to that job with the size of the hole in your chest. Y'all gon' make me lose my mind. Up in here. Up in here, y'all gon' make me go all out. Up in here, up in here, y'all gon' make me act a fool. Up in here, up in here.
outside, meet me outside, meet me outside, all my rough riders. Meet me outside, meet me outside, meet me outside, all my big ballers. Meet me outside, meet me outside, meet me outside, all my fly ladies. Meet me outside, meet me outside, meet me outside, all my street street people. Meet me outside, meet me outside, outside, motherfuckers. X's got y'all bouncing again, bouncing again, bouncing again. Dark man got y'all bouncing again, bouncing again, bouncing again. Rough riders got y'all bouncing again, bouncing again, bouncing again. All my people is bouncing again, bouncing again, bouncing again. Ain't nothing y'all can do. Ain't nothing y'all can do. Can do now.
Ending with an explosion. Or gunshot. I'm not sure which one that is. I guess I'm not gangster enough, really. DMX, party up in here. Change of pace there.
Not gangster enough, but you have it on your iPod.
Oh, yeah, of course. But then, like, I think loads of middle-class white English guys have that on their iPod. And they're listening to it, thinking in their head, I'm pretty gangster.
I guess so. It's like I said, I could see you driving with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Very loudly.
Driving along. And probably not driving very well to that.
And then having an accident from
Yeah. Another accident. I probably already spoke about my car crashes on this show. I've been talking about various things.
You have an amazing record.
Yeah, yeah.
And thankfully you don't drive anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I've made the sensible decision. Now just listen to that and think about driving. I imagine it. I'm going to guess you don't have much stuff like that on your iPod, or do you?
I think I've got some Eminem.
Aha!
I think. And I think the Eminem stuff is from 8 Mile.
Right, yeah, yeah.
The film that
surprisingly good film from what I remember. I remember going to see it at the cinema and thinking, this will be rubbish. But seeing it with my friends who liked Eminem, so I went to watch it. And then by the end, I loved that film. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, there was what do they call it, that... Oh, this is me going to have a sound trend, sound street. Rap off.
Rap battle.
Whatever.
So, yeah.
It's amazing. I thought it was fantastic.
Yes,
really.
Is
that what you call it?
It's a rap battle, yeah.
We could try that later.
Me and you have a rap battle against each other.
With that playing in the background.
That song, just me and you trying to rap about. I slept in a castle. It's real cool.
Listening to Bob Dylan. Yeah, I think that would be. No. It's not.
We'd absolutely destroy each other and ourselves and our careers. But I like it. What does he do at the end? He spoiler alert for anyone listening who's not seen 8 Mile, but I don't think there's many people annoyed at us spoiling the end. But he turns it on himself, doesn't he? So he raps about all the things about himself which are embarrassing.
Yeah.
And then he throws it to the guy and goes, go on then. And the guy can't do anything.
Yeah, because he was, I'm going to use a word here, because he was like dissing him.
He was dissing him.
And yeah, and then he kind of just flipped, didn't he? Brilliant moment.
Yeah. I tried to do a rap battle once, genuinely. I did one with my friend in Edinburgh at the festival.
During a show?
Yeah, so there's a show called, I think it's literally called Comedians Rap Battles. I think that's literally what it's called. And it's just comics doing rap battles against each other.
Proper rap?
Yeah.
Like rhyming stuff.
Yeah, so actually trying to do raps and dissing one another. But me and my friend David Trent, who's been on this show actually, thought it would be funny to do one where we're just being nice to each other and where we're just being giving each other loads of compliments. And then at the end, our plan was to be arm in arm singing I Bless Jesus Every Day That I Found You over and over again for ages.
Wonderful.
We thought we're going to do that. And then, so we signed up for it. And then 2 days before we did it, two other people, comedians, did the same thing.
Oh, really?
They didn't say, bless Jesus every day that I found you. But they did a rap about how great each other were. And they got booed off stage because everyone in the audience was like, this isn't what rap battles are about. You're not allowed to do that. So me and David were like, we can't do our original plan now, which means we had to do an actual rap battle, which we didn't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want to do that. So we had to kind of go through this horrible thing of like, in the flat, we were just writing stuff, but then going into each other's rooms and going, David, is it okay if I say this about your wife? And stuff like that. And David would go, yeah, that's all right, but can I say this about the fact you come from Kettering? And yeah, that's fine. And then kind of go out and do quite
do it?
A tame... Yeah, we did it. I was so nervous.
Yeah, I bet. How did it go?
It went fine. We just got through it.
And it rhymed.
It rhymed.
Wow.
That was the least of our worries.
Really? That'd be the main worry of mine.
The main worry is that everyone's judging you, because everyone cheers for who the winner is.
Ah, right.
And you don't want to actually come across like a cock. Because you don't want to go too hard on the other person that you come across like a bully. Right. But you also don't want to get too lame that they boo you. Right. So you're kind of trying to... So at one point... So David was rapping over and over again about me getting nominated for awards but not winning them, and I eventually kind of at the end threw in his face that he doesn't get nominated, and I just came across too.
That sounds vicious.
I felt like they didn't like it, the audience. They were like, that's mean. And then that was it. And I just felt like I actually had turned into a bad guy, which I didn't want to. So I was like, but then it was okay, because there's another couple of comedians had done the rap battle earlier before us that evening, and they had genuinely fallen out with each other afterwards. So we were okay. We were fine. I think one of them walked home really upset.
God, you live on the edge, James. I tell you.
Right on the edge. But I would never do the rap battle. Would you ever consider doing a rap battle?
No, because I don't think I could get a rhyme together. But I suppose you prepare it beforehand, don't you?
Yeah.
Because you don't freestyle.
No. Well, comedians don't. I think rappers are expected to. Because rappers, when they do it, they have prepared stuff. But they get extra points if they've obviously freestyled. So if you react to something,
so if they respond to what something's going on. And does it always have to be about dissing someone?
Yeah,
generally.
Yeah, from what I've seen, I've seen some of Mark Grist. He's he used to be a school teacher. He went viral once. He was a school teacher who kind of like did a rap battle, I think, with one of his students, or with just a younger guy.
One of his students.
Either that, or just a young guy,
right?
Who was obviously making fun of him for being a teacher, and then he was just really. Just destroyed him. But then in a way that I didn't like, I mean, there's a lot of misogyny in rap battles. There's a lot of dissing each other's mums in really yeah. quite horrible ways.
Yeah.
A bit unnecessary.
Yeah.
But yeah. So Mark Grist is the ones that I've seen.
Mm.
I've watched a teacher do it. That's more my speed.
I think I've only ever seen Eminem do it in a film.
Yeah. Mm. Who knows if he's ever done it in real life? Probably not.
No.
He probably has. He must have. That film's based on his life, pretty much, isn't it?
So he must have done.
Yeah, he must have done it.
Okay, so that's on my to-do list.
I mean, his whole life seems pretty depressing, Eminem.
Yeah. Detroit, isn't it?
Yeah. He bad relationship with his mum. People beating him up. Getting beat up all the time.
But he's done amazing things with it, so that's good, isn't it?
He has. I mean, you know, he's come out of it quite aggressively homophobic, but you know, everything else is all kind of all
is
right.
He still homophobic?
I'm not sure if he is now. I haven't listened to him in so long.
Did he do something with Elton John?
Oh yeah,
did I make that up?
I don't think you have made that up.
He did, didn't he?
I think he might have done something with Elton John,
because there was a whole thing about him being homophobic, and then something with Elton John, or Elton John said he liked him or something. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe I'm making that up, but there was something with Elton John. I think
I hope
Elton
that
John,
did happen, because I think a lot of the time, I think if Elton John said he liked him, because I think the only one, okay, increasingly, I don't know about you, but as someone who considers himself quite liberal, and I get quite sick of whenever anyone says anything right wing and quite, you know, offensive or whatever. I get quite sick of liberal people trying to immediately launch a witch hunt and make them feel like they're just all, and just basically trying to fight hate with hate, and this doesn't seem to work. And I think it's quite good if Elton John just went, I like you, and did a whole nice thing, and then eventually just got him singing a duet with him and then sorted it out that way. It's quite nice.
Maybe that did happen.
Quite refreshing.
Maybe
if
we're
that
not
happened.
Dreaming. Maybe that's the real world.
Maybe every now and again people don't just like gang up and just destroy a right wing person's life and then think that makes the left look good. But who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? There you go. But isn't it? I'm just being a very typical left winger now and hating the left. Well, that's what left wing people do as well. So let's go back to your iPod. You've had one absolute smasher.
Yeah, here we go.
So let's
take a deep breath.
Let's see what the next one is. Here we go. It's Bob Dylan again.
Really?
Yeah. I swear to God, this is on shuffle.
Are you sure it's on shuffle? You
haven't it's on shuffle, and this is Lay Lady Lay.
Because I don't know how to play it, so...
You've done well.
Lay, lady, lay. Lay across my big breast bed. Lay, lady, lay. Lay across my big breast bed. Whatever colors you have in your mind, I'll show them to you, and you'll see them shine. Lay, lady, lay. Lay across my big breast bed. Stay, lady, stay. Stay with your man a while. Until the break of day, let me see you make him smile. His clothes are dirty, but his hands are clean. And you're the best thing that he's ever seen. Stay, lady, stay. Stay with your man a while. Why wait any longer for the world to begin? You can have your cake and eat it too. Why wait any longer for the one you love when he's standing in front of you? Lay, lady, lay. Lay across my big breast bed. Stay, lady, stay. Stay while the night is still ahead. I long to see you in the morning light. I long to reach for you in the night. Stay, lady, stay. Stay while the night is still ahead.
Lay That Lady Lay by Bob Dylan. Ken, I mean, we haven't really had this before when someone, it turns out that they have the same person twice. It's one of those things that proves to any sceptics that it
is. I have to confess, the whole iPod actually is just Bob Dylan.
It's just Bob Dylan giving lectures.
I say that song, Lay Lady Lay, was the one I had on my cassette tape as well as the other one. But it was a duet with Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
I think it was just Googling it here. And that was amazing, the two of them singing it together. So that's why that's on there.
That song reminds me of... I went on a holiday to... It was somewhere on the coast. Anyway.
In England?
Yeah, it's in England. It's a little village. I should be able to remember what it was called. Anyway, I'm speaking to a guy who...
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Kettering in Northamptonshire.
Right, okay, so not local.
No. Holiday was like,
that'd be a bit weird.
Yeah. This holiday was only a couple of years ago anyway.
Right.
But like as an adult with my girlfriend at the time. And a guy who owned a cafe there said that Bob Dylan sounds like Kermit the Frog on that song.
Oh really?
I was trying to convince us that he sounds like him. But he was trying to convince us by doing a perfect Kermit impression while singing that song and going, yeah, but you're not play us the song and we can listen to it, but you're here at the other minute.
Did you know the song before he said that?
Yeah, yeah. Right. I wasn't convinced.
Is that a famous song?
Yeah, that one's one of his, quite well-known hits.
I am rubbish on music. I am so rubbish.
Yeah, that one's...
I'm building up a collection now, thank you.
Yeah. I'll say that not everyone would know that song, but most, most people maybe would. I think, his big ones are Blowing in the Wind and Times Are Changing. Probably be the... And Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Yeah.
Yeah, know that one?
Yeah, he said very unconvincingly. Yeah, yeah, that one. That's my third one on there. Yeah.
I think that's Dylan anyway. Then you got me doubting it now.
Said it. I have to Google it later.
I Googled Eminem and Elton John, and you're absolutely right. They're friends, and Elton John helped him out when he was addicted to prescription drugs.
Really?
Prescription drugs.
Easy for you to say. That's brilliant, though, isn't it? Because that's nice.
Yeah, it's nice of him.
So nice.
To get him out of that.
No, I think it's like you said, though, isn't it? Nice to go a different way on it.
Very nice to go. It's the only helpful way to go on it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
There's a lot of. I think especially with the internet now. I mean, are you on Twitter and stuff like that?
I am. Yeah.
How do you find it?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Getting my head around really using it.
Yeah.
Using it. Using it sounds rubbish, doesn't it? Well, why am I on Twitter? I think because my inherent tendency is not to talk to anybody. Necessarily, and I think what that does do is actually just trying to communicate and go outwards and connect with people and things.
Right, yeah.
So in that respect, I kind of use it. But that's probably it. And it's good. I think somebody described it once. It's like Twitter's like a massive pub.
Yeah.
And it's like walking through the pub, going to different tables and listening in on conversations and moving on to another table and then maybe joining in or moving on. And it's... it's brilliant, just...
Which is crazy behaviour, though.
Yeah, because the last time I did that, I got thrown out.
Yeah, if you actually did that, everyone would be like, who is that weirdo?
Yeah, oh, it's Ken. And James.
Yeah, Ken and James again. Talking about at different tables.
Yeah,
just eavesdropping and meeting up and chatting about what they've heard.
Yeah.
It is weird. It's a weird... I mean, yeah, you wonder... Like, I mean, I think...
You're on Twitter, though, aren't you?
I am on Twitter. I'm trying to... avoid actually looking at it whenever I can.
Why?
Because I don't like the... When I look at what other people have tweeted, you only need to go a few messages down to see either someone bragging about something that's happened to them, in which case I can't... Because they're often people that I know. It'll be like another comic or someone like that, and I just go, oh, don't... just keep it to yourself. You're in success. You don't need to brag to people. Or... it's you see someone has you know is responding to a troll or something like that, and then you get I get really easily drawn into just like reading, you know, the correspondence between them and this bully, and then all it does is it just makes me makes me go, why are people like this? What is going on? And you know, and I mean the big one, I had to unfollow. There's a comic at the minute who is deliberately trying to provoke a lot of controversy around himself, and
why? What?
He put. I've never had to tell someone this story.
Yeah, tell me about it, James. Yeah, relax. Tell me. Get it off your chest.
He did a post quite a few months ago about how right wing politics isn't represented on TV very much.
Right wing politics.
Be. Yeah, by comedians. Comedians are, you know, always taking the easy route and slagging off UKIP and the Tories when they, you know, a large percentage of this country thinks that those parties are right. So why are we just criticising them? It should be that, you know, you should be voices there representing a large percentage of the country. And he also said in that tweet that.
What's a large percentage of the country? That's 5%, isn't it? I think
Of who voted.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
I guess right wing. Yeah, I mean they won. To be fair, the Tories did win, so I guess.
Is he seeing the Tories as right wing?
Well, I don't know. Well, they're more or less, aren't they? Well, yeah, they are compared to Labour, but he was actually more picking on UKIP and saying that, you know, people slagging off UKIP was an easy target. He also said that on those panel shows, the comedians aren't good enough a lot of the time. You have, he said, women pretending to be comedians and ethnic comics. No one was aware before that these were his opinions. And what happened is that when that came up, a lot of people attacked him online about it. I guess were quite aggressive towards him about it, and then as a result, he maybe dug in more than he would have in the first place, and really decided to set up camp in this kind of like this kind of hateful little field. And so now
James, this isn't
it gets worse and worse.
It?
Yeah, so now I'm going to continue to write these
which
posts.
Which is why I don't use Twitter, because I just shouldn't do those sort of tweets.
I do those tweets all the time.
Well, thank you, James, for sharing. Thank you. It's good to get that off your chest.
I feel like we switched round who's the host and who's the guest. But yeah. So he does that. So now all of his tweets are quite. So I've unfollowed him because I don't want to see horrible tweets about minorities.
Can I ask? Is he an established comedian?
Yeah, yeah. Everyone knows. No. Okay. Yeah. Everyone knows who he is. But I mean, really, anyone who's listening will know who I'm talking about. It's very public, the whole thing. But I just found that quite unpleasant to watch. I think some people really enjoyed watching it unfold and watching a man go crazy, but I just thought this is just horrible, especially when he was saying he just started to pick on every single minority or all kinds of vulnerable people that he could think of just to wind people up. Really,
that's terrible, isn't it? What a shame. Yeah.
But then you see, like, you know, for all the insanity around it and all the things that are really ugly about his behaviour, I also kind of, I think that his main point that he's struggling to make, he's making it appallingly, but I think his main point is about people swarming over other people online and doing a witch hunt. And I think if he was making it a bit more eloquently, then he would be onto a good thing, but he's not. He's making it, he's being a proper asshole.
Have you done anything crazy on Twitter?
I have done nothing crazy. I can't leave Twitter now because...
Have you retweeted something?
Yes, I've retweeted things.
Stuff that you've regretted?
No. The only thing I regretted was I blocked someone when I shouldn't have. I was in a bad mood.
Do they know that you blocked them?
Yeah, they can tell.
How?
Because you don't come up on their feed and they can't... If they want to tweet at you, they can't anymore.
Oh, it kind of says you've been blocked.
And you don't come up on their thing and they just realise they've been blocked. So I had taken a photo. Someone on the train was having a conversation. I noticed that their wallet was falling out of their pocket and was on the floor. So before I told them about it, I took a photo of it. And I tweeted it saying...
Why did you take a photo of it before you told them about it?
Because I did a tweet saying... it's been on the floor for 20 minutes now. I'm going to see how long it takes for him to notice. Now, yeah, that was the tweet. Everyone knew it was a joke, and that I was obviously going to tell the guy, and that I wasn't going to just leave him there. But one person was like, "That's not funny, man. I got my wallet stolen in France. Don't be a dick." And so, I just blocked him. I think I said. I think I responded first of all saying, "Did you just call me a dick? It's not very nice." And then he said like something else that was like quite, you know, just you know, it's like speaking from personal experience, and you should do the right thing and not just leave it there. So I thought, I'm not engaging in this. So I blocked the guy, and then I got a lot of tweets from people who I didn't know saying, "This guy is a massive fan of yours, and and you've really upset him, and he's now doing tweets about that." And I felt very bad about it, and so I unblocked him because I completely misjudged. I had misread the tone.
You should have given his wallet back to him.
Yeah, I should have. I should have just sent his wallet back. But yeah, I felt that's the only thing I felt bad about on Twitter. I'm gone. Okay, that was wrong. That was a wrong move. So now I don't really do that.
It's very public, isn't it? That's the thing. It's you can kind of forget that actually anybody can look at it.
And we're all still getting the grips of it. As well, we're all still kind of like learning the ropes, so we're making mistakes and we're misreading each other's posts, and we're engaging in things we shouldn't,
retreating wrong things.
Yeah
Favoriting.
Have you ever done that? Is this from
I think, as probably everybody's done, you've retweeted something which you kind of say, "Oh well, that's terrible, that's outrageous," and then you get somebody contacting you saying, "That's actually not true."
Yeah,
that was 5 years ago. And you think, "Oh, okay." And then you kind of try and block it or do something. But I think that's the dangerousest thing I've ever done on Twitter.
retweet something.
Yeah, that maybe I shouldn't have done.
That's kind of okay.
I favorited lots of pictures.
I remember seeing Yeah, my favourite thing on Twitter was when Danny DeVito was tweeting about the 27 Club, and he didn't know about it. He didn't know about
27 Club.
The musicians who die at 27. You know this?
No.
Oh, so there's quite a few. So there's a
why 27?
It's just that's the thing. It's just a coincidence. But like a lot of really influential, amazing musicians have died at 27. So Hendrix did. Right. Brian Jones from Rolling Stones. Kurt Cobain. Jim Morrison. Janis Joplin, Amy Winehouse.
Is it really 27?
All 27, yeah. So wow. Amy Winehouse was the most recent one. So when she died, Danny DeVito had noticed that Jim Morrison was also that age. So I think tweeted, rest in peace Amy Winehouse, 27, same age as Jim Morrison when he died. And then people started tweeting at Danny DeVito saying like, yeah, so was Kurt Cobain. So I'm Danny DeVito was just retweeting all this going, whoa, hey everyone look at this. It's like, no, it's already a thing, Danny. You haven't discovered it, but it's like, look at this, they're all 27, we should call it something.
Oh, that sounds like me if I'd have found something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, really, 27, that's amazing. Wow.
So yeah, I don't know,
well,
why
you made it, well done, you
I made
through
it through 3 years. Yeah. Clear now.
Because you were a musician, you said.
Yeah, I was drumming away. See, that was how I was clever. I quit music before I got there. I was 23, I stopped. I don't want to have a short life expectancy. But let's go back to mine now and see if those days as a musician have helped me out at all in this. I've had a hip-hop song so far and Bell and Sebastian come up. So that's quite a variety. Let's see what's next. Mm. Here we go. Oh, God.
Tooling down the highway doing 79. I'm a twin pipe popper and I'm feeling fine. Hey man, dig that. Was that a red stop sign? Transfusion. I'm just a solid mess of contusions. Never, never, never gonna speed again. Slip the blood to me, bud. I jump in my rod about 8:45. I gotta make a date with that chick of mine. I cross the center line. Man, you gotta make time. Transfusion, oh man, I got the cotton picking convolutions. I'm never, never, never gonna speed again. Shoot the juice to me, Bruce. My foot's on the throttle and it's made of lead, but I'm a fast riding daddy with a real cool head. I'm a gonna pass a truck on the hill ahead. Transfusion, my red corpse suckles are in mass confusion. Never, never, never gonna speed again. Pour the crimson in me, Jimson. I took a little drink and I'm a feeling right. I can fly right over everything, everything in sight. There's a slow poking cat, I'm gonna pass him on the right. Transfusion, I'm a real gone pale face, and that's no illusion. I'm a never, never, never gonna speed again. Pass the claret to me, Barrett. A rolling down the mountain on a rainy day. Oh, when you see me coming, better start to pray. I'm a cutting up the road and I'm the boss all the way. Transfusion, oh doc, pardon me for this crazy intrusion. I'm never, never, never gonna speed again. Pump the fluid in me, Louie. I'm burning up the freeway early this morning. I am a passing everybody, oh nothing but corn man. Out of my way, I don't drive with my horn. Transfusion, oh nurse, I'm gonna make a new resolution. I'm never, never, never gonna speed again. Put a gallon in me, Allen. Oh, barnyard drivers are found in two classes, line crowding hogs and speeding jackasses. So remember to slow down today. Hey, Daddy O, make that type O, huh?
I mean, just a horrible song.
That's shameful.
Just horrible. Just that. There's a car crash at the end there. Shouldn't stop it beforehand. Nervous Norvus, Transfusion. That is a song, I mean. Right, so it's about car crashes, which we've already spoke about. So it's we've kind of started predicting chats now, and then getting blood after a car
why
crash.
Why is that on your iPod?
That is on my iPod because my friend Henry Widdicombe, who puts on gigs, he puts on a really good show called Huntcliffe Festival in Wales, and he puts on comedy at Green Man Festival. He played. It came up in his car once. One of those songs came up in Henry's car, and me and my friends thought it'd be really fun, find it really funny to imagine that it was Henry had written that song and that was Henry singing it. So then I downloaded the songs for some... I think I remember kind of liking the song that came on in his car. So now I downloaded about 5 Nervous Norvus songs, which is what a guy's called, Nervous Norvus. I got 5 of them and then immediately regretted it. And it's like, why have I got 5 of these on my iPod? And I always skip them. And that is also one of the most annoying ones, that transmuter, because he's doing the put a gallon in me Allen and stuff like that, and saying things about... so yeah, that's why that's on there, because I imagine my friend... The only reason I enjoy listening to that is because I imagine my friend Henry Widdicombe singing it, and that makes me laugh. But that is the only reason I would ever want that on there.
So do you have the other songs on there as well?
Yeah, there's a few. There's one about called The Wild Dogs of Kentucky, about dogs hunting down prisoners, I think.
Right.
There's one about like a Halloween style one about monsters. It's just but they all sound like that.
But is he like God, this is gonna sound rubbish. Is he old fashioned?
Yeah,
is that the right word?
Oh, that's years ago. This is like the 50s or 60s. Right. That guy in the corner.
Okay,
one of the albums. I mean, and they're all from compilation albums as well. Like, none of them, you can't really buy a Nervous Norvus album. They're all like individual songs and stuff like this is called True Rock and Roll. this compilation album.
True Rock and Roll.
I would disagree with that.
Yeah.
Myself. Mm. I'd say Nervous isn't exactly.
Stretching it a bit.
How do you imagine that guy when you hear him? How do you imagine he looks, Nervous Norvus?
Nervous Norvus probably looks a bit nervous, I would think.
A bit nervous?
I'm kind of thinking on that. I don't know. I reckon he's wearing a shirt and tie.
Yeah.
And some kind of suit and a hat.
Yeah.
Which is a bit too tight. No. But the suit's a bit tight.
Yeah.
And he probably sweats a bit.
Yeah. What are his hands like?
Massive. Because he's a short guy.
Yeah.
And his hands are just way too big.
Yeah.
Was he playing something? Did he play a guitar?
There was some music in the background. I don't even imagine that he's had anything to do with the music. I think he's just walked in and started speaking over a song he's just heard 5 seconds ago.
So he's like the front man.
Yeah.
Of a band.
I think there's a band who write these songs, and then he comes in.
Is he called Norvus?
Norvus.
Norvus.
Nervous Norvus. Norvus.
But was his name Norvus?
I'm not sure, actually. Maybe it was. Maybe his name was originally Norvus, and so he was like, oh, I'll call myself Nervous Norvus then. It'd be weird if Nervus came first, and he just got to make up a name. I've never met anyone called Norvus myself.
No, nor have I. I was wondering where that's from.
Yeah. Would you call a child Norvus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Instantly, yeah. Yeah, well, actually.
My firstborn.
Norvus. Yeah, yeah.
Norvus, that's...
Norvus Cossard. Maybe that's a nice name.
Was he successful?
No.
Really?
Yeah, I think Nervous Norvus missed the boat, I think.
Ah, shame. Well, didn't maybe really. We can resurrect that.
I think if anyone listening really enjoyed Nervous Norvus, do let us know. do tweet in whatever the Fubar tweet is, probably at Fubar Radio, something like that. I'd imagine.
It might be his time now. You never know. Nervous Norvus.
And it just suddenly resurrect him, and like just by slagging him off on the radio, we suddenly give him a whole new way of success. I would be surprised.
What, with a car crash?
Also, he sounds like he was near the end there, doesn't he?
How old do you reckon he sounded?
60s at least.
What, that?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He sounded 40s.
Really?
Yeah, 10 years older than you. So, do you reckon he sounded that old?
Yeah, I imagine him pretty old.
So...
With dark glasses on, but not completely dark, like, you know, maybe red tinted.
George Formby type.
Yeah.
So when was George Formby? In the 80s?
No.
70s?
He was earlier than that, wasn't he? He was earlier.
Must have been 40s.
Yeah, the 40s, yeah.
So it's probably around about the same time as Nervous Norvus.
Yeah,
Nervous.
I think maybe. Yeah, it's just going on like about a decade later on the other side of the ocean.
He's American.
I think Nervous Norvus is American, yeah. He sounds American, yeah.
Really? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he was all...
So that explains a lot.
Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, that's what they're all doing in America. But then, he sounds like a bit of a beat poet, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe a wannabe, not a good one.
But that would have been experimental in the 50s, wouldn't it?
Yeah, to be honest, that'd be experimental now.
That's cutting edge.
If anyone did that now, I'd be like, you are taking a risk.
Car crash at the end.
Car crash at the end, and all the way through. Hmm. There was car crash noises throughout that whole thing, which is kind of the equivalent now of rappers doing gunshot noises all the time, which were, you know, in the... I've had 2 songs now. So DMX ended with an explosion, and this one ended with a car crash.
There's a theme.
Quite destruction at the end of every song.
And mine have been
Bob Dylan. Just Bob Dylan.
So Bob Dylan in a car with a gangster having a crash.
Yeah.
Just, I like it.
Yeah, everything exploding around them. Oh, that's quite nice. Well, let's see what the next one is on yours, actually, while we're on the subject. Let's see if Dylan comes up again. Here we go. Just setting it up. Hold on a second.
What is that?
It's gone on for the times of a change. They are changing again.
Really?
No, but it says track three. So hold on. Let me go back.
Are you doing shuffling Bob
Lay
Dylan?
Lay Lady Lay, Bob Dylan again. So you've got that song. So I'm looking at it. The first one you've got is saved as the song title is Bob Dylan, Times They Are A-Changing.
Right.
By Bob Dylan.
Right.
So you've got Bob Dylan in the title as well as the artist's name.
Is that a mistake?
But the other one is The Times They Are A-Changing by Bob Dylan. So you have two versions of the same song.
Right.
With the same cover.
Yeah.
Same album cover on the artwork.
Oh, that's mental, isn't it?
But you just got two versions of the same song, and it's managed to come up on the shuffle with a Bob Dylan song in between it as well.
Three Bob Dylans.
Yeah.
That's weird.
If the next one is Bob Dylan, which it is, by the way, I've just skipped forward and it's Bob Dylan
again.
I think
you're shuffling just in like one album.
But it says shuffle in the corner.
You don't know how to use it. You said you knew how to use it.
Ah, no, it's okay. I'm just Blowing in the Wind is the next one.
Right. It's not Bob Dylan.
Right.
There are other songs on there.
Well, I've skipped forward. One after that is not Bob Dylan.
Ah, brilliant.
But the next one is Blown in the Wind, so we do have to play it. We kind of...
Again?
We don't have to play Bob Dylan again.
No.
Let's play the next
move
one.
Move on from Bob.
Play the next one. But that is genuinely what your iPod's done on shuffle. It's played four Bob Dylan songs in a row, two of which are the same.
That's...
Same song.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's do you know what? It's fascinating. it's the Infinite Monkeys thing. We've never had that before.
What's an Infinite Monkey?
The all the monkeys on the typewriters, they type their complete works of Shakespeare eventually.
Yeah.
Type everything. We're doing this on shuffle every single week. Eventually, you're just going to get Bob Dylan's entire back catalogue in a row. That's what's going to happen. Here we go. Let's see. The next song is...
And right now, Snow Patrol. Snow Patrol. Darkness deep in you, a frightening magic I cling to.
Give me a chance to hold on.
Here you are, you're in that field again.
Give me a chance to hold on.
You're standing with your mates.
Give me a chance to hold on.
Snow Patrol on the main stage.
Give me something to hold on.
Here it is.
So clear now that you are all that I have.
First time play anywhere in the world, thanks to the team. We're not going to stop with that. You'll hear a lot more of it on Radio 1. It's one of two hottest records in the world today. It's called You're All I Have, and it's our 24th of April. That'll be South by Southwest next week, and so will we.
So.
Hottest
record. Okay, so somehow... we'll never know how you managed to get a Snow Patrol a song on your iPod that was recorded from Radio 1.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
How did you do that?
I have no idea, and you I didn't even know that was on there.
Have you? I mean, because that's just that is clearly
because I had the
Zane Lowe on Radio 1. It sounds like bigging up a brand new Snow Patrol song,
right?
And you've got that on your iPod.
I know. And I have no recollection of that song or anything, or even of this.
No.
There you go. But weird that there's so much Bob Dylan, and then that sits in the middle of it.
Ah. Guess what?
What?
I'm looking at your... I'm looking at your iPod now.
Yeah.
Here's what's happened.
Are you on the radio?
It was on Shuffle.
Yeah.
But it was on Albums Shuffle.
Ah,
so
right.
What has happened is, it shuffled in albums, so it just played the whole of that Bob Dylan album,
but
and then it's going
it.
To play the whole of Snow Patrol, is what was going to happen. And the logo in the corner looks the same. I've now put it on Song Shuffle.
Brilliant.
And we can avoid that. But, pretty funny.
Mm.
Pretty funny. So, because I noticed that it went straight onto a Snow Patrol afterwards, I was like, I'm not having this.
Got to check
I'll let
out.
Bob Dylan play repeatedly, but we're not having Snow Patrol over and over again.
So was that from a Snow Patrol album?
Yeah, apparently.
So why was it having a Radio 1?
I don't know how. I mean, really, I should be asking you these questions.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how on earth you managed to get this. Let's have a... Let me try and find it again. Try and find the Snow Patrol album.
I should have really checked it, shouldn't I, before I brought it out here?
No, because that's no fun, really, if people do that.
Yeah, I'm just kind of worried about what else you're going to find on there.
Yeah, well, you should be, actually, to be fair. Yeah, I don't know how you did that.
Hmm.
But,
I think my... Oh, no.
What?
I think my voice reel is on there.
What's your voice reel? You doing stuff for adverts?
From years ago.
I hope that comes up.
I don't. I really don't.
What kind of stuff?
It's just, what is it? I think it's on there. It probably would be because it's a music file, and for some reason anything that had slightly was music orientated went on my iPod. You know when you open it and then it imports everything and then you can't get it back out and then it's stuck on there in iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
So everything, anything kind of vocal.
Great.
Vocal?
Is
that a word?
That's a word. Vocal's a word. Yeah, yeah.
So that might be on there. So it might be a German chocolate advert. On there.
You did a German chocolate advert?
Yeah, but it wasn't a real one. It was a pretend one. This was many years ago when I thought I'd try and do voiceovers, but it never really went anywhere.
So you didn't get any German chocolate?
No.
Would have been nice.
Would have been.
Do you like German chocolate?
I do, actually, yeah.
Delicious, isn't it?
I like it with hazelnuts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now you're talking.
But you put it in the freezer.
Right.
Chocolate in the freezer with hazelnuts.
In the freezer, not the fridge?
Freezer.
You pop a freezer.
So it's rock solid.
Wow.
And grapes.
Grapes in the freezer are great. Yeah.
And then you take them out and it's like a grape bomb.
Yeah, little ice lolly.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Blueberries not so good.
No.
Or raspberries, a bit soggy.
Yeah, raspberries are... You've got to be careful.
Mm, but grapes are good, and chocolate.
But how do you then eat the chocolate? You just put it in your mouth and pop it, if it's rock solid?
Yeah, you have to use the back teeth.
Right in there with the
back mouth. Yeah, because you'll lose your front ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Because your molars...
Yeah, moulds in the back.
Yeah, yeah, they're for chewing, aren't they? So you can kind of like crack it.
Really get in there.
Crack it off.
Like someone.
That's not an expression.
Like those people who open beer bottles with their teeth. Oh, well, ain't it that?
Why?
No one likes that.
Why?
Those people, I think, go under the illusion that they're the most popular people at parties when they're hands down the least popular. Like, no one wants to see you open a beer bottle with your teeth.
Why? Why would you do that?
Do you think they're cool?
Do you have fillings?
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I have zero fillings.
Yeah, me too. Zero fillings.
Awesome, mate. Good, <isn't it? laughs> Zero fillings crew.
Yeah, though I think I should have some.
You'd like some?
No, well, yeah. Not really, but I think I need some.
Why?
Because I eat too much frozen chocolate. And my teeth are a bit... There's ice cream.
Yeah, you start talking about chocolate, and then the ice cream van turns up. It turns up every now and again, this ice cream van.
Oh, it's Mr. Whippy. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Mr. Stars and Stripes.
But don't give him the satisfaction. He does this deliberately. He drives past with the music on, and then he knows that people on the radio will refer to him, and he gets a free advert every time. It's absolutely disgraceful. He's never given us any ice cream.
It's got a fab. Do you remember the fab ones? The
fab lollies. I remember the Smashing and Nicey adverts for fab being the first adverts I thought were funny. In my life. Smashing and Nicey, remember them?
DJ...
Yeah. It was Harry Enfield and Paul Whitehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were doing characters of
and they were doing an advert for ice cream. DJs.
They did adverts for fabs, yeah.
Fabs. The fabs, that's my favourite, the ones with the hundreds and thousands on the top.
Yes.
And shaped like a rocket.
Yeah.
And like in the old days, there used to be chocolate in the middle.
Right.
But these days they don't have chocolate.
Chocolate on the outside now.
Yeah, chocolate on the outside and then ice cream, whatever. And then in the middle there used to be chocolate, though it never really tasted like chocolate.
Right. What did it taste like, if you could describe it?
Like a really bad instant coffee.
Well, I'm glad they got rid of that.
Frozen, yeah.
The sound of things, I'm glad that went away.
But it was a nice surprise, that was a thing, when you got down.
Well, it's like with Cornettos, you always forget that the end of the cone has a lump of chocolate in it.
Oh, really?
You see, you're eating the Cornetto, just having a lovely time, and at the end you go, oh yeah, there's a big lump of chocolate in the bottom of this, is brilliant. It's just a nice ending, nice finale to the whole experience.
I like the 99s. I like the 99s because you can break off the bottom and then you can create like a mini one.
Yeah.
And take it off the top, so you crack off the... bottom of the cone.
Right.
And then you take the top of the whippy bit.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have a miniature ice cream.
But then, yeah, you've got a hole in the bottom of your ice cream.
Yeah, you've got to be quick. That's the thing.
Your way of eating sweets is quite extreme. You go, like, you get the frozen chocolate, you put a hole in your ice cream deliberately.
Yeah, freestyle with the ice cream and frozen chocolate. Yeah.
Well, I was badass having a whole tub of Ben and Jerry's, but this is a whole other level.
Hmm.
I could talk about puddings for the whole show. I could just do a pudding show.
I don't have a sweet tooth, though. Saying that, though, no? I've just eaten frozen chocolate and 99s, but I don't actually have a sweet tooth.
It's a shame. I feel very lucky to have a sweet tooth. I quite like it. I love it. Joel Dommett was on here a couple of weeks ago, mentioned that he likes Tangfastics and got a whole three bags of Tangfastics.
Tangfastics,
the Haribo sweets. I don't really like them, so I'm not going to get any free bags by saying that. But
remember the teddy bear ones. Is it teddy bears? What do they call them? The gummy bears.
Gummy bears. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
The golden gummy bears.
Yeah. I remember I had those as a child. See, this is ridiculous. I don't have a sweet tooth, and yet all I'm talking about is sweets, chocolate, and ice cream. But they were special treats.
Yeah.
And my grandfather used to have a drawer. It's like a sideboard in the living room, and he would open it and be full of sweets. But the smell was amazing.
Yeah.
And I remember the smell of kind of like gummy bears
and
stuff, and chocolate with hazelnuts. Wonderful.
So where's your grandfather from?
He was from Germany. He's German. He was German. He's no longer German. He was German.
Yes.
Possible.
You were born in West Germany?
Yeah.
Which... doesn't exist now.
No. So it was when there was West Germany in the north.
Yeah.
At the British military hospital in Rintern.
Right.
That's where I was born. My mum's Czech German. My dad's English Greek. But he was a soldier out there. So there's a whole generation of us actually grew up in the 80s that were born in Rintern and in Germany. And I bump into them occasionally.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like a secret. It's like the 27 Club, but it's not because we're still alive. It's like I was born in Germany during the 80s. I wasn't born in the 80s, but I was born in Germany from military parents.
Yeah.
Club doesn't have the same kind of appeal.
Is there many of you in that club?
Well, it's amazing when you bump into them. There seems to be quite a few, a whole generation. Because there were lots of British soldiers then in the 80s.
Yes.
I mean, not anymore, because they had to leave
Right, yeah, yeah. So how long did you live there for?
2 years.
Okay, so you can't remember it very well.
But then I used to go back. I used to go back every Christmas and every summer.
Yeah.
For many years until my grandfather eventually passed away.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was my childhood. That was lovely.
Go really, to really Germany, lovely. Get some sweets.
Yeah, eat good sausage and potatoes. Yeah.
Really nice potatoes in Germany?
No. But sausage, amazing, yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm going in January, February for about a week.
Oh, really? Where?
To Lahnstein.
Right.
Go there.
Where's that?
It's, I don't know, actually, but it's twinned with Kettering, my hometown. So I'm going there.
Are you going like on an exchange thing?
I'm going, if only, yeah. I'm going as part of, it's a web series that I do. So I'm going like...
What's a web series?
So it's just a series of videos, but on YouTube, just so we'll just put them online on different things. So we've done.
So why in Germany?
We did 6 episodes of online series called Sweet Home Ketteringa. So I'm from Kettering, so we call it Sweet Home Ketteringa, and it's me going back to my hometown and revisiting all my old haunts.
Mm-hmm.
And the second series of it, we're going to go to the twin town of Kettering, Lahnstein, and do the same thing there and go to all the main places you should go in Lahnstein.
Oh, wow.
Like,
and what is Lahnstein?
Lahnstein.
Ah, Lahnstein.
It's like a... It's quite... I went there as a kid, so I kind of remember bits of it. It's a nice town. It's got the River Rhine runs through it.
Right, okay.
There's cruisers that go down it, and once a year they have fireworks going off over
the... So is that in the Black Forest?
I don't think so.
Right.
No.
I don't really know, but I just...
Because we definitely would have gone there if it was, because my parents like that kind of stuff. But,
are you there with your parents?
No, not this time. Okay. Although one of the episodes...
Not this time, you went before?
I went before with my parents, because I was a little boy.
To Lahnstein?
Yep.
Why?
Because there was a... I love how this is the... I've got no problem with it, but this is the only one where I turned into more about me than
Sorry,
you.
Sorry, no, I'm curious.
But I was... So, there's a volunteer fire brigade in the village my parents live in, just outside of Kettering. Mm-hmm. We moved there when I was in secondary school. And the volunteer fire brigade found that Lahnstein had a volunteer fire brigade as well.
Wow, who'd have thought it?
So then they did an exchange with them. Mm-hmm. So the Lahnstein firemen came over to Kettering and Geddington for a while. We all went over. So my dad was in the volunteer fire brigade. Mm-hmm. So then all of us went over to Lahnstein one summer for about a week. And they put us up and looked after us. And we had a big banquet in a castle. So this is very much like your childhood. Mm. I had a banquet inside of a castle with all the different people from the fire brigade. And that was amazing. That was really nice. We went on the ferry, or the boat down the Rhine, when it was all the fireworks going off overhead, because they had that once a year as well. And they were all preparing for their carnival, so they were getting their carnival float ready, so we had a look at it.
So you know the place quite well, so when you go out there and you do your web series, actually, you'll know all the kind of... you get a better idea.
I'll remember some of it. I was probably 11.
Are you going to go and see the volunteer fire brigade in Lahnstein?
Yes. Well, we're going to try to.
How do you mean try? Are they a bit...
We'll try and find them and contact them. Yeah, yeah.
Try and find them. Are they gone in hiding?
Well, it's trying to find people online. Isn't always. Sometimes it's easy, and sometimes you can't.
But Lahnstein sounds like some kind of really small place. It doesn't sound like. It's a town, isn't it?
I'm hoping it'll be easy. Yeah, it's a town. Yeah. So I'm hoping it'll be pretty easy to find them.
Well, you could always start a fire.
that's how you do it.
That's one way, isn't it?
Yeah. I remember when we arrived...
I'm not saying that you should.
When we arrived, they were meant to be welcoming us, and they couldn't, because they had to go and fish a dead body out of the River Rhine.
So we had
to wait for them while they did that. And considering that the Geddington Volunteer Fire Brigade, all they ever did was pick up litter and get drunk, I think it put them to shame immediately. They're like, oh, man, they're actually getting to handle dead bodies here. Jealous? Right. I've got to recover after Nervous Norvus now in my life, but I really, really hope I do, and that this next one is better. But let's see if it is. Oh yeah, it's of course Dan the Sack.
Thank you.
Dan Lesac, featuring Mers. If you're not Ollie Mers, M-E-R-Z is what that guy's name is. The song's called Long Night of Life. It's a very good... I think the album's called Space Between the Words. Very good album.
I like that.
And tomorrow, and it will go out live, 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock again, our guest on the show is Scroobius Pip, who is... his friend. So there you go. Well done, Amanda, for that. Amanda sorted that out. Pretty cool.
Is he a singer?
Huh?
Is Scroobius Pip the singer?
He's a performance poet who, yeah, kind of does... I think that's what we've done this, like, it would more be called rap when he does it on those. But, right. He's basically doing his poems and stuff like that over those songs, although some of it...
He's doing rap?
Yeah, it's kind of a...
You could do a rap off.
I could do the
you could relive the Edinburgh night.
Could do that tomorrow with me and Scroobius Pip. I'm not sure he would be up for that. I think he would be one of those people who does to say nice things, or quite eloquent. He'd be way too eloquent for me.
But you would have like a whole day to prepare, and he would know because you'd like spring it on him.
Yeah.
And you could like practice your rhymes.
Yeah.
Your rap.
Yes.
Be brilliant.
I could spend all night tonight practicing, and then tomorrow just destroy him.
Yeah.
And then he never comes back and upset a musician I really respect. Oh no.
Yeah.
Ruined everything. I can't believe
it. You could do a nice one, couldn't you? You could kind of relive what never quite happened in Edinburgh.
Yeah. It'd be so embarrassing, wouldn't it, to just suddenly start to do a rap for a rapper. Oh, I just realised we haven't played any Stings today. Hold on a second.
Fubar, giving radio the finger.
There you go. That's I was supposed to do them every now and again, so thought I'd put one on. That's a nice album, though, isn't it? He's got a lot of guests on that album. There's a lot of he's a producer, really, and DJ, I guess.
So guess like and, who?
No one I've ever heard of. Just loads of pretty good, really. Like that guy. I've never heard of Murs, but his voice is beautiful on that. That's what's nice about it, is that he's chosen, obviously, a lot of albums. They would choose guests who will sell more copies of the album, really. Mm. So you get we were talking about Eminem and Elton John. You get someone on who everyone goes, oh yeah, I'd like to hear that person on it. Whereas I like it when musicians just get the right voice for the song and they go, this is how I want the song to sound. That person would suit it the best. It doesn't matter that no one's heard of them and get them on. Macklemore's album is a bit like that as well, but I don't suppose you've heard of Macklemore.
I haven't.
There's a few things.
I'm not big on music. I love it, and I love it more when I'm away, from home somewhere. Yeah. And I play music, and then that's beautiful. But generally, I don't. I think I've only ever been to 2 concerts in my life.
Yeah.
One was Suzanne Vega.
Yeah.
In the 80s.
What was that like?
In pretty much how you could imagine. What's going through your mind at the moment is pretty much like that. Suzanne Vega in the 80s in, I think it was in Regent's Park.
Yeah, okay.
In the amphitheatre there, and she was playing. And I thought it was absolutely incredible because she's on the iPod.
Mm-hmm.
Just because she was an amazing... say role model, that's wrong. Inspiration, again, growing up as a teenager and just about what she was writing about and her songs, and I could kind of really relate to it, and it described me where I was at that time. So, and the second one was for a Peace One Day concert down in Brixton at the venue. What's the venue in Brixton called?
I've been there. Oh, I've spoken about the time I went to Limp Bizkit enough on this show. I should know what the Brixton Academy. No?
Yeah, Brixton Academy. Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, and that was a Peace One Day concert, and they had Semisonic on there. I think it was Semisonic.
Semisonic, Secret Smile.
Yeah, I think it was Semisonic, and brilliant, amazing. And I think those are the only 2 concerts that I certainly can remember.
Semisonic are still going now. I just remember that one song, and then that was it.
Secret Smile.
Yeah.
That's on there.
Oh, I hope that doesn't come up.
I love it.
You love that song?
Like it?
No.
Why?
I found it quite... I don't know. I just never got it. I never got what it was people liked about it. I found the melody a bit annoying. And then, yeah, that was it. And I don't really like the lyrics.
I'm trying to think of the lyrics.
Nobody knows it, but you've got the Secret Smile, and you use it only for me.
Yeah. Oh, that's poetry. Isn't it? Try it tomorrow.
Yes, wrap it at Scroobius Pip.
Well, just say it and see what he says.
Just say it to him.
Yeah, judge his face, see what
Welcome
he says.
Welcome to the show, Scroobius. Or Pip, I don't know which one he'll get. Yeah.
You've got a secret smile.
Nobody knows this, but you've got a secret smile and you use it only for me. It's a bit forward, isn't it?
It is.
Saying that he uses it only for me.
It is.
So he's just met me.
Quite Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, I don't know if he would smile back at me immediately.
You never know, you should try it.
Yeah. In Brokeback Mountain, they didn't really smile at each other, to be fair. It's quite a... Because it's tough. They didn't have a lot to smile about. They were being, you know, society wasn't
Maybe
accepting them.
Confusion.
Yeah. They weren't confused. They were more... They're a bit angry, I think. A bit cross. I'm like, well, this isn't fair. So, let's go back to your iPod now. So we seem to have strayed into an area you'd rather not talk about. So, let's find what's on your iPod next. Here we go. Oh, put it on here. Oh, pretty cool. Someone likes rap more than they made out they did earlier on.
Yeah. Rap.
This is the Fugees.
Ichibang. Listen, this is Tin Can, I'm your candy handyman. Me without shoes, like American without the band. Stand, cool fellow, dance all stay mellow. All that gun talk, would've thought you die yellow. Damn, I'm not the hero wanna be. Now he sleeps with his friends in the mortuary. Dude, I find it rude when you intrude. My piston nozzle, it's your nasal doodle comes out your anal. Just because you're buff,
don't play tough, cause I'll reverse the earth and turn your flesh back to dust. Ooh la la la, it's the way that we rock when we're doing our thing. Ooh la la la, it's that natural light that the refugees bring. Ooh la la la.
Dig it. I stay high off the Fuji live bus when we rush through. You must know raw cuss crew got G's like the refuse. So F who ever wanna test, bring me stress. West coast back to east, grab my toes when I reach. Truly curving, swerving, lifestyle is urban, sipping bourbon, surviving. We really keep the word when a boy want be tested. Set done, you get wet up just a bit too unprepared to shoot it. Fair bet.
Fake bullets can't scar me. I can spell a week out like Safari. Play you out like Atari, sacrifice you, Hari Kari. And I'm sorry to every single rapper, Dick and Hari, saying they wanna spar me, cause I think my repertoire and my memoir be reminding me of eating calamari in the Kalahari with the band of Rastafari. So, ha ha ha, you shouldn't diss refugees and your whole sound set BTN.
Ooh la la la, it's the way that we rock when we're doing our thing. Ooh la la la, it's the remix on and all the refugees bring. Ooh la 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 la.
I sit 90 degrees on the leaf palm tree, sitting in the cool breeze in the West Indies. Fleet to sea, ship my keys on Santa Maria, sip sangria with senorita.
Telling me this, telling me that.
They smile in my face, then they talk behind my back. But what they lack is the facts about my stats. My rap impact will kill you soft.
Hey yo, what's going on? I'ma get and come, you know what, we soon done. Gun by my side just in case I got a rum. A boy on the side of Babylon trying to front like you're down with Mount Zion. Yo, what's going on?
I'ma get and come, you know what, we soon done. Gun by my side just in case I got a rum. A boy on the side of Babylon trying to front like you're down with Mount Zion.
Call Mr. Martin. Tell him to build a coffin. Today is that season. 100 MCs and get murdering.
Stop it!
Call Mr. Martin. Tell him to build a coffin. Today is that season. 100 MCs and get murdering. Ha ha ha.
Ooh la la la. It's the way that we rock when we're doing our thing. Ooh la la la. It's the remix on and all the refugees bring.
Fugees, Fuji La, Refugee Camp Remix. And Ken, you weren't expecting that, were you?
No, I wasn't, but it's rather cool.
It is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
I think I've done very well.
Fugees is maybe the coolest one we've had on so far. Maybe that's cooler than Dylan.
Well, I don't know. We had three Dylans, didn't we? Three Dylans and a Fuji.
Did have. I mean, you've done very well. You had Snow Patrol, which kind of brought the average down a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially Snow Patrol Radio 1.
But there must be one Snow Patrol one that I really like on there. Did they do Cars or something?
Chasing Cars.
Chasing Cars. Is that Snow Patrol?
It's Snow Patrol, yeah.
So maybe, but I don't know why that
Run
radio
by Snow Patrol, that's a nice one. I think that's a nice Run.
Do you know what this is? I think that might be from, you know, in them olden days.
Yeah.
I'm talking a few years ago when you used to get free CDs in the Evening Standard.
Right, so that might explain the Radio 1 presence on
and
it.
I think I would have put that then in my computer because they still had drives then where you could put CDs in, which they don't anymore.
Okay.
And I think it must have, as everything goes to iTunes on there, just kind of grabs it. So that's probably where that's from.
That's where that came from.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Fugees, a load of Bob Dylan songs, and Snow Patrol.
It's a good thing we worked out the Bob Dylan because it could have been
It could have just been Bob Dylan forever.
Yeah, and we would never have known.
There's a fun little bit to the show. You know, we haven't had that before.
It's freaky.
It never occurred to me that you can put albums on shuffle. But who's doing that? Who's putting albums on shuffle? I don't think anyone's going to really listen to a whole album and then...
Especially when there's only three tracks on it.
Yeah.
And we played all three and it was just shuffling another one. Yeah, which had just been the same track but renamed.
Why would you do it? You just put the songs on shuffle. Have a good time. There's no point... I don't know. You have to be on a pretty long car journey or flight. If you're flying to Australia and I'll put my iPod on shuffle albums and then I can just listen to a whole album like that.
But it's just the album it shuffles, isn't it? It doesn't shuffle all albums, it's just the album.
No, so what it was doing was it was playing the album in order and so then playing a different album in order. So it was just doing, it was so...
Ah, right,
it wasn't playing the songs in shuffle, it was playing the albums in shuffle.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, well, neither did I. I think it's pointless. I think they should take that function off. Why do that?
But that's the fourth generation iPod Nano. Maybe, yeah. Just maybe, things have changed.
I love how you always refer to it by its full name as well, fourth generation iPod Nano.
Well, it's kind of a good name.
Fourth generation. It means it's got great-grandparents.
Well, yours is... Yours is not first generation, is it? Probably second generation.
Probably, it might, but I'm not sure what generation it is. I've never, like, I should take this iPod on Who Do You Think You Are or something like that and do a bit of a family tree on it, because I'm not sure.
Really. Well, the first one was really chunky, wasn't it? And it didn't have the kind of silver thing
on
the back.
True. Yeah, this is a bit silvery. My iPod, I'm going to explain it like I'm on the Antiques Roadshow. But, you know, it's quite still got a nice sheen to it. Buttons are a little bit worn, but, you know, that's because for the relentless shuffling it's been doing over the years. A lot of listening to it. Mm. I'm never going to use the album shuffle, that's for sure.
No, I don't think I will either.
But thank you for coming on the show today, Ken. It's been brilliant.
Yeah, likewise.
You're working on Cuckoo and the Detectorists now, new series of both of those. Fun? Good fun?
Yeah, no, it's brilliant.
I imagine they're both very funny shows. I imagine you have a lot of fun recording them.
Yeah, do. Cuckoo, we started about 3 weeks ago filming in around London. We're in the studio from next week for 3 weeks on it. And it's brilliant. The team behind it at Rough Cut, amazing. The cast, fantastic.
Greg's a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
I did a gig with Greg once. I supported him when his support act was ill in Exeter. So I went to Exeter and supported him and had a lot of fun with him. Mm. Fun guy. Most times the headliner will introduce you off stage on a mic and will say, like, this guy's great, I'm so glad he's supporting me and all this. What Greg does for a laugh is he kind of off on the mic will just say, to be honest, I only got this guy here to fill in 15 minutes because I can't be bothered to do it. I don't care if you laugh at him or not. He's not my cup of tea. I don't think it's very good. And depending on how much the audience are going for that, will really slag you off really badly before you go on. And it's great because they can get on board more.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. He's good. And actually, I think he's a great actor as well.
Yes.
I know he doesn't always think that, but I think he is. Uh-huh. And I think that transition, it's not a transition because, you know, he's still stand-up, but the fact that he can pull that off, and I think in Cuckoo he's brilliant. And I think in the first series he was nominated for a BAFTA in it.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, and I was so pleased because I kind of thought, there you go.
Yeah,
so you are, you're brilliant. Very good at what you do, as well as a comedian, but also you know you can as an actor as well.
Yes.
But it's great fun. I love doing Cuckoo and working with him, and messing around, which we do with it. And
when will that be on television? Do you know?
I don't know. So we finished filming that towards the end of July. So I don't know. Would it be? So there's 7 episodes. So one presumably might be a Christmas special, or it might not. I don't know. Who knows? This year, I'd have thought.
At some point this year, Cuckoo will be on TV and people
just don't
can watch
hold your breath.
And,
I would imagine maybe September time. Sometime in September it might come out.
Yeah.
On BBC Three. Save BBC Three.
Are you pushing that?
Definitely. I signed the petition. Please do sign the petition. We need another 4,000 and something signatures to bring up to 300,000. And I think they're meeting next week to kind of discuss it.
Ah.
So please do. It's such an amazing platform for new comedy and for new performers to try out their stuff.
Yes.
And it'd be such a loss if that goes. They've just established, the BBC have established something amazing. Please don't lose it. So do.
Definitely.
I think it's hashtag save
Probably say BBC Three or something like that. Yeah, absolutely. He signed the petition, and then BBC Three can continue to turn down all my ideas. So let's keep that going. No, I definitely obviously sign that petition and save it, because it is good for a lot of new shows. My friend Nick Helmer's wonderful shows on there, and there's so many. Cookie was just one of them. It's very good. What you got planned tonight, mate? You gonna have a nice dinner with some frozen chocolate?
No frozen chocolate. What have I got in the freezer? Actually, there's probably some frozen chocolate. I as I said earlier on, I'm doing this lecture on Wednesday, so I probably will be at home with the missus working on that lecture, getting it ready for Wednesday, because I'm working all this week. So,
what's the lecture about?
The lecture is on the Lotus Sutra.
Now, what is that?
Lotus Sutra.
We've got 2 minutes for you to explain to me what that is.
Lotus Sutra, it's kind of like an 80s track, similar to a... No, it's not. Lotus Sutra is a... Sutra means teaching, and it's from a Mahayana Buddhist point of view, it's the highest teaching in Buddhism.
Right.
And it teaches that every human being has got incredible, amazing, amazing potential in their life, and they can reveal on it and draw on it at any time. And it praises life and the power of life that we have. So the lecture is about that teaching.
Yes.
And applying it and using it in life and becoming even more incredible than you already are. So that's what the lecture will be out in Hampstead, but I don't know where. I'm rubbish. I don't know much. I don't know when or what or music or anything.
There's that potential you were talking about. absolutely.
But it's somewhere in Hampstead on Wednesday. I will find out obviously before then. Otherwise, it'd be a bit embarrassing.
Best of luck with it, Ken.
Yeah, thank you.
My guest today. Brilliant. And I think you've had a very good run of it on your iPod there.
Yeah, James,
well,
you've been brilliant. Thank you so much. I'll be honest with you. This a bit because I didn't know what was on that little red thing, and you've made the whole experience absolutely fantastic, so deeply thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you to Amanda, producer on this. Thank you so much.
The pleasure was all ours. Thank you very much. And we'll end on whatever song if my iPod is going to throw up next. See you next time. We spoke about Eminem. Here he is.
With a trick up his sleeve, roll up on you like Christopher Reeve. I can't describe the vibe I get when I drive by six people and five I hit. Aw, shit, I started a marsh pit, squashed a bit and stomped a foster kid. These rules make me hallucinate, and I sweat till I start losing weight, till I see dumb shit start happening. Dumber than Vanilla Ice trying to rap again. So bounce, bounce, come on, bounce. I said, come on, bounce. Everybody in the house with a half an ounce. Not weed, I meant coke, the master down. We don't want shit, better ask around. D12 throws the bomb, is bash in town. Bizarre, your mom is passing out. Get her ass on the couch while she scratches out.
Fuck that, someone help the nod. He's upstairs naked with a weapon drawn.
Hey, Vine, you see me stepping on these leprechauns?
It gotta be acid, cause the X is gone.
Yeah, I took them all gone with some Parmesan, and I think my arm is gone.
Y'all probably numb, young, dumb, and full of cum. And I think he's about to swallow his tongue.
Scary ass, it was a false alarm. You think about to die when I just got on?
Well, stop acting stupid. You so high that you might wake up with a guy on some new shit.
Yeah, I think I did too much. This substance equals cunt. Red pills, blue pills, and green. Big pills, masculine.
I take a couple of hurts. I down a couple of hurts. But nothing compares to these blue and yellow purple pills. I've been a mushroom mountain. Once or twice, but who's counting? But nothing compares to these blue and yellow purple pills.
30 dozen, 80 of us, shady brothers, ladies, lovers. That's why our baby mothers love us, but they hate each other. They probably wanna take each other out and date each other. One time, and I don't need water when I'm swallowing mine.
Hey, you got it.
This bizarre smoke crap. I can't get jobs cause the arm's so trash. Why the hell you niggas think I rap? We do it just to get your company hijacked. And if you like smack, then I might too. I just wanna get high like you. And I don't give a damn if they white or blue. Speed shrooms down the volume. Even smoke weed out of vacuums. I just cop some and I'm going back soon.
I take a couple of them. I down a couple downers, but nothing compares to these blue and yellow purple pills. I've been to Mushroom Mountain, once or twice, but who's counting? But nothing compares to these blue and yellow purple pills.
I'm at a rave looking like a slave, high off chronic. Gin and tonic, demonic, body smell like vomit. Pussy popping, acid dropping, dope heady guy. Heroin, mescaline, pencil legs, wanna try. Blue pills, golden seals, got bizarre, acting ill, drugs kill.
Yeah, right.
Bitch, I'm for real. Shut your mouth, you dirty slut. You know you want it in your butt, I put it in your gut. That bizarre nut.
I take a couple of them, I down a couple downers, but nothing compares to these blue and yellow purple pills. I've been to Mushroom Mountain, once or twice, but who's counting? But nothing compares to these blue and yellow purple pills.
30 cousins, 80 of us, 80 brothers, ladies, lovers. That's why our baby mothers love us, but they hate each other. They probably wanna take each other out and date each other.